Well, Kelly, it's all over the news. I know you're back home currently in North Dakota, but I'm sure you've been keeping an eye on the impeachment process. You were on the front end of this because it had to go through a couple of committees, including the Judiciary Committee. We're talking about the impeachment trial of President Trump, and it started in the House, and the articles of impeachment were approved there, but largely because it went along party lines as opposed to any Republicans voting for it. So as you see the trial or the impeachment process going on right now in the Senate, since it's left the House, what are some of your thoughts that you've been seeing?
First and foremost, you can package this however you want, but nobody's learning anything new. And I think that goes through what was the rushed process in the House without letting these questions be answered about calling more witnesses in court and subpoenas and those issues. But I don't really understand how you can make this so time sensitive in the House that says it's a, I mean, Eric Swalwell said it was a crime-free in process. Jerry Nadler, who is not opposed to hyperbole, said that it was absolutely essential that this be done as quickly as possible. And then Speaker Pelosi managed to hold it for over a month. And the entire time in the House, the case was, it's overwhelming, it's absolute, it is what it is, it's undisputable. And now they continue to say they need to call more witnesses, so it doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
Do you sit there sometimes and watch the coverage and just kind of scream into your hands?
So I was on oversight, so I participated in the secret depositions that had no business to being secret. And I walked out one day, and the way it works is all the media sits outside the skiff door, and the skiff door is really heavy, so they can tell when it's opening. And because of some delays in what went on, I had to catch a flight back to North Dakota, so I walked out, and all the media runs right up to me because they know somebody's coming out of the room. Well, then they realize it's some congressman they don't know from some freshman congressman in the minority, so they go back. And I actually kind of let them have it a little bit. I just like, you guys are all standing out here waiting for scraps from some Democratic staffer who comes out of this hearing. If this happened in North Dakota, if we had a secret hearing that was no reason to be no secret, there'd be an editorial in every paper and every media personality and radio host from one end of the state, Republican, Democrat, left, right, would be clamoring at the walls to open these hearings up.
Yep.
And yet we have the most powerful media organizations in the world that just refuse to acknowledge the fact that there was no reason those hearings should have been secret.
I do want to get into the perspective, if you don't mind, because you kind of cover two angles. You do cover two angles. You are a congressman for the state of North Dakota. You've been a part of this process. The other part of this is your regular job, at least most of your life, has been an attorney, and you've done criminal proceedings. And I thought, because there's been so many questions about how the impeachment trial has been, or the impeachment process has been handled in the Senate, and the biggest thing we hear is, oh, we're not allowed to call witnesses. So maybe, first of all, just give us the difference between what's real life in a courtroom and what we're seeing in an impeachment trial in the Senate.
And I've gotten in trouble with some of my friends on my side for saying a couple things that we can get into later if you want. But the biggest single difference is you have to absolutely understand there is nothing about an impeachment process that is similar in any way, shape, or form to any court case, let alone a criminal case. And the reason is this impeachment, for all everybody wants to talk about it, is a purely political proceeding. It is run by the House of Representatives, and the trial is run by the Senate. And to give you the basic answer of how you know it is not any much like a criminal proceeding, this whole idea of an impartial jury in the Senate is a political myth. If I was picking a jury on these issues and the senators was my jury pool, I would get all 100 of them struck for what is called cause. There isn't a senator in the United States Senate, for president, against the president, that hasn't said something to a media outlet, to a news release, to a newspaper, anywhere, that wouldn't get them struck immediately from cause. An impartial jury in a partisan body is a political myth.
I think people get confused because you have the Chief Justice there trying to run this, so they think there is some legality to it as far as, like, you know, from the judicial
standpoint.
Well,
never understand D.C.'s ability to turn something into a gravitas and all of these things. But let's be frank. There's not a single one of those members that is an impartial juror. They don't exist in a partisan environment. And they would never get picked for a jury in any jurisdiction anywhere in the country.
Well, I have to throw a couple of examples at you, even though you've probably already answered this, but we hear a lot about the witnesses now, and the Democrats want to keep calling witnesses, even if they were just allowed to call three or four or five or whatever it happens to be a certain number. I'm not even sure that that would be allowed. If they're trying to prove their case, why is it okay to not allow them to bring witnesses forward if we're impartial?
Well, I would argue that, and I will argue because I was a part of it. It seems really interesting that Adam Schiff, who ran this thing with an iron vice-like grip in the U.S. House and wouldn't let Republicans call any of their witnesses, now all of a sudden, when he's from the minority position in the Senate, says it's absolutely essential. The problem is they just, and they have, I mean, they're aided and abetted by the national media. Nobody is going back, not very long ago, by the way, Eric, six weeks ago. When we wanted to call witnesses, and we weren't allowed a single fact witness in the entire House proceeding, not one. The only two witnesses that were called that were on our list, the Democrats were going to call anyway, because quite frankly, they had to. Ambassador Taylor, and I'll remember it as soon as we're done off of this, okay. Who we actually had on our list, but they didn't let the Republicans call a single witness. And you don't get to determine what the process is when you're in the minority. I know that full well because I sat through the entire thing in the House and we had no say. In fact, Adam Schiff would stop witnesses from answering Republican questions during his depositions in the basement.
Another example I would throw at you is Mitch McConnell before the Speaker of the Senate. I don't have the exact verbiage, but basically said, we're not going to convict Donald Trump in the Senate. Does that not also make things just a little cringy going into an impeachment?
Not if you start with the premise that Jerry Nadler got elected to the chairman of the Judiciary Committee with the fact that he said he was the best person to impeach Donald Trump. Adam Schiff came out and said he had absolute, rock-solid, direct evidence that President Trump personally colluded with Russia prior to the Mueller report coming out. Nobody has held him accountable for that. Nobody has done any of those things. So what they're trying to do is reset this and say, like, they're these solemn, neutral arbitrators of facts, and that is absolutely not the case. In fact, Jerry Nadler's already been pulled off, I think, the impeachment team because he was a clown show the other night at midnight. So they can reset this in their self-righteous pontification, but that is not how this process started. And make no mistake, this process started way before this Ukrainian scandal. It started the day after President Trump got elected. Here's another big difference between a criminal case and an impeachment case.
Right.
In any criminal case, here's how this went from impeachment. They wanted to impeach President Trump from the day he got elected. They started with emoluments and business dealings and tax returns and conspiracy and obstruction of justice, campaign finance, bribery, extortion. They've run the whole thing. And they couldn't prove a single one of those, so they created this nebulous abuse of power charge. In a criminal prosecution, if you can't prove any of the crimes, you don't ever get to charge all of the crimes. It smacks in the face of fundamental fairness, but that is exactly what the Democrats have done here.
Well, one of the only Democrats I heard from the very beginning, and this is somebody that's in the House with you, is Congressman Colin Peterson, basically said that this whole process is kind of a waste of time. This was before the trade agreements and everything else
yep.
got handled and the budget got handled, and we need to kind of focus our priorities over there. And he came out and said, look, it's going to pass the House, but it's not going to pass the Senate. Absolutely no way. So do you think that the Democrats believe that they actually have a chance of turning the Senate, or is this just trying to cause political damage for the Trump administration and Republicans?
They have never accepted the 2016 election, and they are working to damage the president before the 2020 election. That's always what this has been about. There is no way they're going to get 67 votes in the U.S. Senate to convict the president, and it's only wishful thinking from some really outlandish media pundits that think that's even remotely possible. This has always been a political exercise. It's twofold. They want to damage the president, and they absolutely have to feed their base. Their base has demanded this since 2016, and it was always going to happen.
You think it's going to work?
I don't. The best way I describe this is I just spoke to a college class at UND, and I used the same example. If everybody remembers the gold dress, blue dress thing that blew up on social media a couple years ago, where half the people saw a gold dress, half the people saw a blue dress. The social media went nuts over it. The media went nuts over it. Well, we're a year and a month into the attempt of the Democratic majority and their attempt to impeach the president. And Republicans still see a gold dress. Democrats still see a blue dress. But I think worse for the Democrats in this scenario is independents don't care. They just don't care. They care about the issues that are important to them: trade, taxes, health care, the issues that affect their daily lives. And I can't imagine how that's helping the Democrats in districts that Trump. There's 31 Democratic seats that Trump won, and I don't know how those congressmen and women go back to their district and show off a single accomplishment.
Kelly, I think it's really interesting in the timing of this impeachment trial. And it got held by Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House. And then it kind of pops up on almost the same week as we get the USMCA across the finish line and we get the trade agreement, at least phase one, done. Do you think it's just coincidence that this all happens to be kind of happening at the same time? Or do you think there's an orchestration here to also, hey, Donald Trump got a couple of really nice wins for himself, you know, for things that he had promised and for the country. We need to kind of muddy up the waters a little bit in the news channels with this impeachment stuff.
Well, I think the trade deal with China is a coincidence because that was run solely by the president and they got to where they needed to go. And I mean, you and I have talked about that agreement forever, but there is no doubt that Nancy Pelosi held USMCA so she could make that the vote that her vulnerable Democrats could go home and talk about. Because if they wouldn't have had that vote at the same time that they had the impeachment vote, it would have been a long Christmas break in district for moderate Democrats whose constituency supports the president, which is frustrating because we could have passed it 8 months. I'm glad it's passed, and I don't care what the reason is. It's too important to North Dakota to worry about the political part of it. But it is frustrating when you know it could have passed easily 6 months ago, but it was being held for political reasons.
So how is this impeachment trial going to end from the standpoint of process? It sounds like Saturday is going to be the day.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they will continue to vote on certain things. They only need 51 votes to change some things. But I think that's one of the things that I think people need to realize about this. The Democrats don't get to choose who the witnesses are in trial. And I've heard this said before, well, you can't call Hunter Biden or Joe Biden because they're irrelevant witnesses. Understand in a courtroom that a judge doesn't determine whether or not a witness is relevant. That is up to the parties to call. The judge can rule questions relevant or irrelevant, but that is a complete mischaracterization of how a court system goes. And also, I would point out that if their whole argument is that this entire issue with Burisma and Joe Biden and Hunter Biden is completely debunked, my first question is, who debunked it? Because nobody's ever answered that. I think a CNN reporter debunked it and just said it was debunked. Okay. And two, if that's the whole premise of this, you absolutely have a right to call these people and talk about it. That's not how this works. I don't know why Democrats thought, I mean, because whether the American people understand how blatantly and nakedly partisan this is, you know who does? The Democrats in the House. And I don't know what they thought was going to happen when they handed it over to a chamber that they don't control anymore. But if it's as partisan as it was in the House, I don't know how you complain about it being partisan in the Senate. That's the way partisan government works, and that's how this was always going to work.
They had to understand that it was going to play out this way. There has to be another meaning for them, and basically it gets back to the point of just trying to get the impeachment word out there as many times as they can and try and damage the president for the casual citizen of the U.S. that doesn't follow the news every day.
Well, except I would argue that they never underestimate their ability to make mistakes because they hate President Trump so much. And then also, I think another point, just absolutely demanding that Ambassador Bolton testifies, they didn't even subpoena him in the House. They didn't even issue a subpoena to Ambassador Bolton.
That would have been their chance, right?
Yes, and he said he was willing to testify under a subpoena, I don't remember the exact way, but they didn't do it because they were on an artificial timeline and they had to get it done before Christmas for no reason other than they're trying to damage the president for the 2020 election.
Do you think before this is all said and done, any witnesses will be called?
I don't know, but I think I would argue you better be careful that what you wish for, because I can't imagine a scenario where Mitch McConnell and the Republicans in the Senate just say, sure, Chuck Schumer, you can call the three witnesses you want. And we're just not going to do anything. Right. I mean, there are a lot of I think Adam Schiff is a witness. I 100% believe Adam Schiff is a witness. I don't believe at all that he didn't have more to do with the whistleblower and how the whistleblower ended up coming forward. I also think the whistleblower is a witness. Now, I would do some things to protect that person and ensure that that testimony is taken in a close relationship or in a close relationship in order to protect them from retribution. But there are obviously serious political motivations at play, and this is a political proceeding. And I think it's incumbent on anybody to hear from the person who started it all. I'd get to call him in a criminal case.
Kelly, is there something missing here that you think is important to bring up?
Well, I just think it's important to recognize that nobody is talking about how this whole process started. Adam Schiff was the lead investigator, the sole grand jury, all of these things. They try and make these equations to criminal proceedings. Like, you've heard the reason these were secret is because grand juries are secret. Well, this was nothing like a grand jury. That's not how grand juries work. And by the way, there are things that happened in that room that if you did it to a grand jury, you would be in contempt of court at the very least. And so they don't get to do those things. And they strategically leaked opening statements and comments and quotes out of this because this was always a political vendetta from the beginning. This was never about finding the truth. And then the other argument that I think is really important to recognize is that for all of this issue, they are trying to infer a corrupt intent in the president's mind with no direct proof to the contrary. And it's really difficult for them to sell that case when the Ukraine is getting more aid right now, including lethal aid, than they ever did under the Obama administration. And if these Javelin missiles were so important that the delivery of the payment, which, by the way, didn't affect actual delivery of anything to the Ukraine, was important in 2019, I'm assuming it would have been really important in 2015 when Russia was actually invading. And we don't talk enough about that as well.
Right.
It's a hard sell when the president right now is giving more aid to Ukraine, even though he's concerned about corruption, even though he's concerned about all of those things, than the Obama administration ever did when the war was actually a hot war.
So when the founding fathers came together with this system of impeachment and there were certain things that you could be impeached about, I heard this statement. I don't know if it's exactly true, but if you went back to the original intent of the categories like treason and a murderer and, you know, any of the big things that a president could be impeached for, that what they're accusing the president of would not fit that original criteria. Is that correct or is that not correct?
I agree with that. I agree that it's high crimes and misdemeanors. And I think more importantly, you have to take, whenever you talk about this from any kind of construct, you have to look at it from what was alleged versus what was proven. They can't prove bribery. And the biggest reason they can't prove bribery, the victim of the bribe, President Zelensky, has screamed from the rooftops, there is no bribery, there was no pressure, there was no quid pro quo. Well, if you don't have a victim, it's pretty hard to convict somebody of a crime. So instead, they went to this nebulous abuse of power. And I think this is, if we look at this in historical context, we have to recognize this is very dangerous, because any time a president is a different party of who controls the U.S. House of Representatives, this can come forward, because every president has been accused of abuse of power. Think of Iran-Contra in this current environment. Think of the IRS scandal under Obama in this environment. Take away the things that President Clinton was impeached for, but look at the Swedish slush fund issue that happened there. Look at rendition under George W. Bush. All of those things are significantly more serious than what is being accused in this case. And by the way, all of those things had hearings. All of those things had political ramifications and policy ramifications. You know what they never rose to? Impeachment. Because we had a reasonable Democratic control or Republican control at the time, depending on who was in the White House. And if you notice, the things I ran through are bipartisan. Some of them were Reagan, some of them were Bush, some of them were Clinton, some of them were Obama. That's the way our government is supposed to work. It's not supposed to rush to an impeachment process immediately.
If this gets voted no, and it's expected to be voted no, impeachment on the Senate side, is the relationship in Washington, D.C. even more strained than it ever has been in the past, at least during the Trump administration?
In the middle of all, like, the Mueller hearing, we got a budget deal done and continue to fund government. So I think there is a little bit of finding some sea legs and being able to do the basic things of government function. But if this is when the Senate acquits him, I am very, very skeptical that the House Democrats will stop. they will continue down. I mean, they will just continue to go after this president. When the president wins re-election, I have no doubt this will start, and I think it'll start before the election, all over again. It's going to just continue.